The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Amen. Be seated. Thank you. Thank you, Kaylin. Beautiful. Come and worship a holy God. Come behold him. That's going to be one of the things we're going to be talking about this morning. Before we do, I was gone last Sunday because 'tis the season to be dropping kids off at programs and colleges. And my youngest daughter, Jamae, you can see Karen and I and Jamae there and on the right. We were dropping her off at Cedarville University, which is up in kind of western central Ohio. I've actually had a kid. We have six kids, four bio, two adopted, and then two more in-law. Two of my sons have married amazing girls, one of them women. One of them is Carissa, who's the worship leader here. Not today. She actually just got back from Ethiopia a couple of nights ago, so we're giving her the morning off. But Jamae is our youngest, and we have had, I was starting to say, a student at Cedarville for 15 consecutive years. Crazy. So Jamae is keeping that streak alive. And my son Mitchell, who's on the left there, you can see him in the picture, he's actually working in admissions at Cedarville. So we were up last weekend connecting with Mitchell and getting Jamae moved into her dorm. And then also my oldest son, Jay, has my two grandkids. That's Will and Evelyn. Will's three, Eddie, we call her Eddie. She is 8 months young, and then there's Eddie and I enjoying the swing. Is she not gorgeous? Any chance I get to show you a picture of my grandkids, I'm going to take it. So we're talking today about, as I mentioned, and as Terry talked about, Vision 2030, which is the year 2030, another 7 years from now, how we as a body of Christ here at Summit are formed for mission. In other words, what is God doing? Just like a lump of clay on a potter's wheel, how is God forming us into people that he is using to share the gospel? And we've looked at three different questions. One is why the mission matters. Why does it even matter? Second of all, what being formed for mission looks like. That's what Terry talked about, right? He talked about how the values are forming us and then how we seek to be formed together. In other words, what are some pathways here at Summit that we believe God is calling us to lead in so that we are formed for mission? Why does the mission matter? Well, God is redeeming a people. That's us, every one of us. To himself for his greater glory. We must never lose sight of this truth and the role that he has redeemed each and every one of us to play. We have been reconciled to God. Jesus died on the cross, paid the price for my sin and yours so that we would be made right with God. He's done that so that we would then be ministers of this message, of helping others understand. Would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This was a verse that Kyle looked at 2 weeks ago in terms of why we do what we do. And it's because we are ministers of reconciliation. Look at verse 17. I put it on the screen too. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We're born again into the family of God, children of God, and God begins to do a new work in our lives. All of this, it's not from us, it's from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, but it didn't end there. And he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. I hope you understand what that means. That God is working in our lives to share the good news that we can be made right with God. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins or trespasses against them, and entrusting to us this message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. So here's kind of the summary of that. The mission matters because God has created us for a purpose. God has created us for a holy purpose, each and every one of us. So why does this matter? Well, it's because, again, God is using us to become more like him. So what does this look like? Well, Terry talked about it. Intimacy, community, and mission. Intimacy, community, and mission. Just root that in the great commandment. You guys know what the great commandment is? Someone said to Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He said, well, it's not just one thing, it's two things. And the second thing is kind of broken up into two. What are they? First of all, what? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Church, that's intimacy with God. We are created to love him, to love the Lord, to be in relationship with him, to know him deeply, to love him, to walk with him. That's intimacy. And it's not just relationship. This is relationship with God. Second of all, community. Because Jesus also said, no, it's not just that, but the second command, half of the command is a lot like the first. And this is, it is this, love others the way you love yourself. Well, first of all, that loving others begins with loving others within the body of Christ. How do we love each other? They will know you are Christians by your love. And Jesus, over and over again, calls us to unity. That unity, ultimately, is how we treat each other within the body. Fellowship, community. But more than that, we are then called to represent him, to love those that aren't yet in the body of Christ, to love the lost, to love those who don't yet know Jesus. That's what this is all about. That's what being formed for mission looks like. It's intimacy, it's community, and it is mission. And that mission really is articulated here at Summit this way. Summit Church exists to give every man, woman, and child. We're talking about everyone around us in our community. Repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel, to this message of reconciliation, without them having to come or go anywhere. That means we bring it to them. That means we don't have to just invite someone to church so that the professional pastor can lead them to Jesus, right? It's we represent Christ everywhere we go. That's our mission as a church. That opportunity to see, hear, and respond to the gospel is me and you as we live our daily lives. And God has promised that as we share Christ, as we share our grace stories, that he, the Lord, will open people's hearts. He is moving in ways that we can't see. Last Sunday, I told you I was up at Cedarville and in Ohio, and we went to church with Mitchell at his church, University Baptist Church, and it happened to be the last Sunday of a 59-week series in the book of Acts. And we were there on week 59, so it was the last few verses of Acts. And so it was a great sermon as Paul has made his way now to Rome. He's up in his 60s. And he's been arrested, took him 2 years to get to Rome. He's now in Rome. The first thing he does is gather the church leaders, which most of them were Jewish leaders. He gathers them together. Somehow he can do that. He's in prison, but I don't think it was at that point yet high security prison. He gets them together and he says to them, this is the last few verses of Acts. He says, God is doing a work in this world and it is awesome. And then he says this, the third to last verse of the whole book of Acts. Therefore, Paul says to these Jewish leaders, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. Which actually, you read it in Acts, it caused a bunch of them to get up and leave because they didn't want to hear that. But he said, this message, I mean, Paul's been living this, is sent to the Gentiles. And this is the part that really grabbed me last Sunday. What does Paul then say to them? They will listen. God will open hearts. God is moving in ways. He still is. Here we are 2,000 years later. But here's what I wrote in my notes. And I want to share it with you. We are in the story. Isn't that cool? We are in the story of what God is doing in this world. God is using us right now. We are growing. Here's this morning. We are growing up in Christ to be used by Christ in our world, in our time. Growing up in Christ. Now, I got to say this. We don't just wake up one day and find this to be true. We don't just wake up one day and find ourselves mature in Christ and able to share our grace stories. It is a process. I'm liking it to the metaphor of a hike. A hike. We have to want it. We have to work at it. Do any of you enjoy hiking? Seriously, who doesn't like hiking? Yeah, I know you're out there. Yeah, I feel you. I get it. But most of us like hiking. Well, I'm going to tell you, I enjoy hiking to get somewhere, all right? If we're just going to go wander on a circular path in the woods, I'm going to struggle a little bit with that, but I love a payoff. You know what I mean by a payoff, right? It's like when we were on vacation a few months ago up in North Carolina, a place just about an hour north of here where there are tons of waterfalls. It's really beautiful. Well, I was all about going on a hike to get to a waterfall, all right? Because I wanted the payoff, because hiking generally is up, up, up. Now, I know there's some, but just feels to me like 3/4 of every hike is up. And yet, I was willing to do that with my kids for the reward. That's me and my oldest son, Jay, and there's Will, and there's Jamay. That was the payoff. It was really sweet. It was a rainy day, but we had just a wonderful time seeing, I don't even know what waterfall that is. Some of you locals, I mean, they all look kind of the same anyway, don't they? It's waterfalling. But nonetheless, when I was in my 20s, I was pastoring out in California. Now, I'm an Ohio boy from the Midwest, but I was 23 years old, moved out to California, and it was in Central California, and so some guys in the church said, we need to go on a hike. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Well, this was how a lot of the hike was. It was up, 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 stairs, and that part had railings. Most of it had no railings. And I'm telling you, this was mile after mile of rock and trail. And in fact, we got to the top of this hike after about 8 miles of that, and it got even worse. Because now there are cables strung, and it's about 600, 700, 800 yards of just upscaling the side. Do any of you know what this hike is? It's Half Dome, okay? We literally started at the valley floor in Curry Village and hiked to the top of Half Dome. You want to talk about a payoff. That's me, actually, in the white shirt there with the shorts. What you can't quite get from that picture is how absolutely amazing the payoff of this hike was. I actually did it twice. Here's a different view of what you see from the top of Half Dome. Guys, this is not just, okay, I put it this way. You don't just see Yosemite Valley from the top of Half Dome. You behold Yosemite Valley, which I believe is one of the most amazing parts on planet Earth, places. You don't just look around and see Yosemite Valley. You take it all in and it takes your breath away. All of the effort, 8 miles of up, is so completely worth it. Because at the end, we get to behold God's grandeur. Now, this is, to me, an amazing metaphor. Go back one chapter to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, which I will add, I didn't choose the text for today, but this is my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. Verse 7 is my favorite verse in the whole Bible. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is basically saying here, take heart, keep going, and behold our God. He's writing to these people in the church in Corinth that were struggling, and Paul himself was struggling. Life wasn't easy. Being a follower of Jesus wasn't easy. And yet he says, take heart and behold our God. God offers a gracious invitation. We just read it in chapter 5. To simply swim deep in the beauty and splendor and the glory of who he is. So, one, take heart and behold our God who is sending us into the world. Look at verse 1. Therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Having this ministry. What is this ministry? Well, he said it in chapter 5. He also referred to it in chapter 3. It's this ministry of reconciliation. It's telling our grace story of what Jesus has done in our lives so that others can be reconciled to the Lord. Since we have this ministry by God's mercy, we do not, what does it say there? You have it? We don't lose heart. I know it's a lot of up. This is a tough trail. But keep on hiking. We have renounced disgraceful and underhanded ways. We're not trying to talk anyone into Jesus. We refuse to practice cunning or tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Paul then in verse 3 acknowledges there are some that won't listen. Sadly, because the God of this age is blinding the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot behold the light of the glory of God, which is reflected in the face of Jesus. But he's saying, keep telling the story. Keep on hiking up. Keep being who God has called you to do. Because in the end, we get to see who God is. Our lives, here you go, find their significance and purpose in him, and our delight is to share that with the world. Second of all, Paul says here in 2 Corinthians, take heart and behold our God who has already overcome the world. And we're going to see in verses 7 through 12 here, Paul saying, as you're hiking along and growing in your faith and being formed for mission, you're going to be hard-pressed on every side. We have an enemy that's trying to shut us down. This is a tough trail. But we have, verse 7, look at it. This is my life verse. We have this treasure, which is the gospel, this message of reconciliation, the power of God, the Holy Spirit. We have this treasure in our broken lives, jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to me. Not to Jody, not to you. We are afflicted in every way. We're not crushed. We don't always get it. Perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. Struck down, never destroyed. For we are always carrying around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies. So death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. In other words, Paul is saying, keep hiking. Hiking uphill is never easy. Following Christ is never easy. Church, but God, right? But God raised Jesus from the dead. But God is opening doors when we don't see it. But God is living in you. But God is able to do more than anything we can ask or imagine. But God is showing up in ways that we can't even see. Keep on hiking. Don't lose heart. Thirdly, Paul says, take heart and behold our God who is better than anything else in this world. Paul says, as we get to verse 16, you're going to be so tempted to look around you and fix your eyes on how broken this world is. On the politics, on the fighting, on the struggles, on all of the negative. What does he say in verse 16? No, don't do that. Don't lose heart. He says it again. Though our outward self is wasting away, our inner self, our soul, our spirit is being renewed each and every day. Now, that doesn't happen automatically, right? We got to want it. We got to work at it. We have to be formed by Christ, for this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. To me, that is the image of the view from the top of Half Dome. God has something so much better than all of this. So we don't look at the things that we see, but to the things that we don't see. Because what we see, that's transient, passing. The things we don't see, that is what is eternal. Don't give up. We will behold Him. So that's the journey we're on. Now, what Kyle is going to share in another video are some of the specific trails or pathways, some of the specific trails or pathways that we believe are essential. You can pop over to Kyle, that are essential to our spiritual formation. So turn the sheet you have over to the 8 boxes. And Kyle's going to walk you through. Each box is a basic environment. One of them is being here on Sunday morning as we gather together. This is an environment where God is forming us. We also have life groups. We have core classes. We have Summit Kids. Well, Kyle's going to explain it all, but this is what he's talking about here, is how are we formed for mission? Let's take a look.
Hey Summit, good morning. I hope your heart is encouraged already. I just wanted to step in at this moment and try to tie in some of the pieces you've already heard with some of the things you're going to continue to hear throughout this fall. And my heart, my hope is that you will see and understand what we long for here, is that we would become a people who continue to behold the glory and beauty of God together. Yes, we will be formed individually in that reality, but collectively we could share in beholding God together, growing and maturing in the image of Christ and His likeness, and being formed for the mission that He is accomplishing, that we are invited to actively participate with Him in. And so that's the invitation. And some of the environments that you're going to hear us talking about will be familiar, and some of them will be new. Sunday morning gatherings, that's familiar. We love it. We love celebrating God's goodness and His faithfulness. And we invite you to commit to those with us and be a part of that gathering with us as we worship Him and celebrate Him together and are formed by our worship and our hearing of the Word and our encouragement to one another. Love the times we have to gather together. That's one of the environments that we get to participate in regularly. Men and women of Summit connecting at each congregation and then all of the congregations. And some of those already happen, but more happening this fall at each place, and then looking for opportunities to bring the men together and the women together to really find mutual encouragement with one another throughout the year. And you'll be hearing more about that as well. Life groups, we've been spending time all year on life groups, really trying to remission them around intimacy and community and mission, growing and maturing in Christ in the context of really meaningful relationships over time, so that we can continue to live and do life and share life together, but for the sake of those who do not know Jesus Christ, continuing to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And there's a lot of opportunities for you to get connected in life groups right now. So you can sign up for those now through next weekend. They'll be kicking off September 10th. We'd love to have you in community with us in the life group environments that'll be available this fall. In the past, things like classes and Bible studies and gospel roundtables, those are all now under an umbrella we're going to call core classes. Opportunities for us to come alongside you to think biblically, practically, and theologically about how to live skillfully in this world with wisdom and discernment, to think about theological things and cultural and practical things, but to do that biblically and to grow in wisdom and discernment as we live in the culture and the world where God has sovereignly placed us. And we really look forward to that. Have one coming even this fall and more to come. Really looking forward to being a part of those with you as well. We have environments for our kids, environments for our students, all of the ways in which they are continuing, the leaders of those ministries and the volunteers trying to grow our intentionality with our students and with our children so that they too can grow up in the beauty of the gospel, be formed in relationships, and continue to live where God has them confidently. We're excited about some of the things coming along in the pipeline for kids ministry and student ministry, and hope your hearts will be encouraged by that as well. And then just two new environments where we are encouraged and hopeful that it'll meet you where you are, and for some of you, help you maybe take next steps in your journey with Jesus Christ. Formation groups will be smaller groups, 4 to 6 people, men discipling men, women discipling women. We look forward to rolling those out slowly over the next 3 to 6 months, really getting those moving with an intentional purpose that we would get those groups together and we collectively would see growth in the outcomes of the values we hold dear here, that we would see growth in enjoying God as we pursue Him. We would see growth by growing in the fruit of the Spirit, engaging our spirit giftedness, stewarding our lives for God's glory and His purposes, and then proclaiming the gospel by inviting people into our stories of grace. We want to grow in those things together. Look forward to inviting you into some new opportunities to experience that here at Summit. And then last but not least, Summit Equip will be something coming next fall. And it's in partnership with the things we've been learning over the last 2 years with Upstate Church Collective, being now able to bring discipleship training and opportunities to you at each of our locations and congregations, and being able to think, what does it look like to be a disciple who makes disciples? And we really want to see all of Christ's people at Summit go through this over time. And so you'll be hearing more about that as it unfolds in the near future. But really excited about all of these environments. Here's what I don't want you to hear me say, or any of us say today. This is not just a list of things you have to do. This is not just us saying, hey, do this and do that, and this is all the things we need from you. This is us inviting you to join the people in the place where you already come and cultivate relationships and have been formed and will continue to be formed. We're going to get in this together. In all of these environments you hear is not a menu to choose from. It's the water we swim in. It's the language we're learning together. It's the environments we're living in together, so that all of us together are growing and maturing in Christ Jesus. We're being formed for His mission. And we are beholding the glory and the beauty of God together, and then inviting others to do the same. That's going to be our invitation, to take all of these things and just live in them together over the next several years. They're not going to be paced out super quickly. They're going to be slowly and intentionally paced out so that you can consider where you are in life and what would be an important next step for you. And there will be other environments, other opportunities for college students and young singles, and opportunities for those who want to get specific areas of their life and see growth there, like Fight for Freedom at Cherrydale. And there will be other opportunities for you to be formed, popping up around. All of that's not menu. All of that is invitation to grow together, to be formed for mission together, and to behold the beauty of God together. That's our hope. That's our encouragement. And we hope it's a blessing to you as well as we continue to unveil, unpack, unfold all of those opportunities in the coming weeks and months, and even over the next year. And we want you to be a part of that with us. And we're excited to see what God does with all of that. You're a blessing to us, and we hope the rest of this morning is a constant and continual encouragement that God's up to something in our midst, and we want to join Him there. Come with us.
Amen. Woo! So good. I got to tell you that all of this really excites me. It energizes me. I've been a pastor for 35 years. And I will tell you, in some really, really wonderful churches, God has been really good to me. But I will also say that what you're hearing here isn't exactly the mission and the vision of some of the churches that I've been a part of. Grab the front of your sheet, the why. And I want you to just see, as I wrap up, how what we're talking about is a little different from the way a lot of churches are. And sadly, I think the church in America quite often has become what's known as attractional. In other words, There's professional pastors that do the work of ministry, and the church comes together on Sunday mornings and maybe in a few other programs, and it's almost like a football game, not completely, but a little bit, where there's 60,000 people in the stands, and there's 22 people on the platform, you know, on the field, and you just do a few little things and come to a few programs and give your money to run those programs, and that's church. Well, that is not Summit. It kind of flips it upside down, where it is not attractional, but it is empowering. And that is reflected in our three core convictions. First of all, and I'm just grilling these into my own heart because I so deeply agree with them. First of all, whatever God is going to do in this world and is doing in this world, He's doing it through all of us, the church. Not just through some professional pastors that run the show up front. He's doing it through you and me in our daily lives. Second of all, what God is doing in this world, He's doing it through us as we live our scattered lives that God has intentionally placed us into. So it is target-driven in that. What's the exact wording? Whatever God is doing in redeeming people, He desires to do primarily through a decentralized structure. In other words, it's not just what happens at the church building. It's what happens in our lives. And thirdly, what God is doing in this world, He's doing it through leadership that is more enthralled with seeing what God can do through you than what God can do through us or me. It's about equipping and empowering and vision casting so that we together accomplish God's work. It's exactly what you're hearing about this morning. And I'm going to invite the worship team up, but I hope this has really helped clarify for you who we are as a church and what we really truly believe God is up to as we engage the mission of saturating the upstate of South Carolina with the message of the gospel through each and every one of our lives so that everyone around us will have the opportunity to see, hear, and respond to the gospel without having to come or go anywhere. Jesus, we give all of this to you. We thank you. Thank you for what you're doing at Summit. Thank you for the leadership team at Summit. Lord, thank you for calling us together. I'm so thankful this morning. I am so excited this morning to see dozens and dozens of college students, 18, 19, 20, 21, that are really, truly leaning into you, Jesus, and exploring what you have for them, how they're wired, how they're gifted, how they fit in your kingdom. Lord, I hope that this message, even today, energizes them, that they swim in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Take heart, don't lose heart. Keep your eyes on Jesus. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that God's power isn't in us. It's in the Lord. It's in the Spirit. We might be hard-pressed, but we can keep hiking. Keep going. We fix our eyes on you, Jesus. We have this ministry that you've given us. And it's awesome because at the end of the trail, we get to behold your glory. We get to see what you're doing in ways far beyond ourselves. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you that it is you working in us, in me. It's in your name we pray. Guys, let's stand as we sing together about what Jesus is doing in us.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.